This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 939. Good morning.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, what India's election results mean for the country's future and the world economy. Then, a conversation with Jim Webb, former U.S. Senator, Navy Secretary, and Combat Marine. All coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
This morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from Seacoast Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Orthopedics and team physicians for the UNH Wildcats, providing evaluations and surgical interventions for athletic injuries, sosmed.org. And the Clean Bedroom, organic mattress and bedding showroom in Kittery, Maine, helping you create eco-friendly sleep environments, also on the web at thecleanbedroom.com. 940, this is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. For the rest of the hour, we're talking about the possibility of buffer zones around abortion clinics and whether they'll soon be required in the Granite State. Gary Reno is with us from the New Hampshire Union Leader and Sunday News. And joining us by phone is Laura Tebow, Executive Director for NARAL Pro-Choice New Hampshire. Laura, welcome.
Good morning, Laura.
Also with us, Brian McCormick, Executive Director of Cornerstone, a conservative public policy think tank. And Brian, welcome back. Good to have you, too.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Well, and Gary Reno, put this in the bigger picture for us, please. How widely are these buffer zones used elsewhere?
They're not particularly widely used. I mean, the one that has gotten a lot of attention is in Massachusetts, where it's currently being challenged before the U.S. Supreme Court. They've had their buffer zone for quite some time, and this New Hampshire law is largely based on the Massachusetts law.
And yet now Massachusetts is before the U.S. Supreme Court, as you said, Gary. And there are some people who said, look, maybe New Hampshire should hold off on this issue until this Massachusetts
right.
case is decided.
And that's what some people were saying. It's time we – why are we doing this? Why are we going forward? We're just setting ourselves up for litigation. But the House decided – both the House and the Senate decided to go forward because of what's been going on, largely in Manchester at the Planned Parenthood clinic.
And to you, I think, Laura Tebow, what has been going on in Manchester around that clinic that prompted this legislation?
Sure. Well, we have seen an increase of activity outside of reproductive health centers, not just in Manchester, but around the state. And things are heating up. I want to remind us all that there's no other medical procedure for which you have to endure public shaming and intimidation before receiving. And certainly we don't want even one incidence of violence against a provider or a patient or even a protester. When things heat up outside of reproductive health centers, there's real concern that someone's going to get hurt. So, you know, we're going to have to wait and see what the Supreme Court decides. But in the meantime, New Hampshire legislators, they've stepped up. They've done what needed to be done for women in our state. And I think it's hard to expect legislators to wait when the safety of their constituents is at risk. So,
well, and heated language is one thing, but violence is another. As you point out, Laura, have there been violent incidents around any of the clinics in New Hampshire?
Sure. We have a history of arson attacks, death threats. As long as abortion has been legal and provided in the state, there are incidents, you know, certainly not often, thankfully, but we have had several incidents.
In New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire.
Okay. Brian McCormick, what's wrong with buffer zones, keeping people back a certain distance so that the patients can get in? What do you think?
Well, again, thank you, Laura, for having me on. Really, this is about what it's taking away from them. If you look at people who go on strike, you look at picket lines, they beat scabbers as they come through the line, yet they're protected under their right to protest to do so. I'm going to follow up on what Laura said there in regards to there being violence in the state. I would question how many of those incidents came from people standing outside the actual clinics. I do understand that, yes, this is a controversial procedure. And again, we don't advocate for violence or action taken that way, any way, shape, or form. That's completely deplorable. And I do believe it's the people who stand in front of the building's responsibility to keep them in line. But inside of that, I do believe that there's a federal statute that protects the clinics under, you know, just basically giving them the right to take protections. It's never been enacted in the state, and that's at a federal level. But the broader issue is that this is taking the rights of those individuals who stand in front of these facilities away from them. We do have a First Amendment right to protest, and we've seen such controversial cases as the Westboro Baptist Church and some really tough subject matter where that was defended. And really, the purpose of people standing in front of this place is, yes, it's a controversial opinion. It's different from those who are going in to partake in the procedure, but under the U.S. Constitution, we have a right to do so. And that's why you're seeing such backlash from this, and that's why we don't believe that it's right or constitutional in any way.
I want to invite our listeners again to join us. This part of our hour on The Exchange, we're talking about the possibility of New Hampshire imposing buffer zones around abortion clinics where protesters would have to stand back by a certain number of feet. The number here in The Exchange for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. How do you feel about these buffer zones and the possibility that they could become law here in New Hampshire? What's the balance between clinic safety, as one of our guests talks about, and First Amendment rights, as our other guest talks about? The number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477. So as we talk about the First Amendment, which you raised, Brian McCormick, Laura Thibault, what do you think? I mean, people do have the right to oppose abortion and oppose it out there on the streets in front of the place where these this procedure is done.
Absolutely. Protesters have the right to express their opinion. This bill does nothing to hinder that right. Personally, I think it's unfortunate that protesters feel shouting at women is productive, but that's their right, and this bill doesn't change their ability to do that. The hope of this bill is that by not allowing protesters to directly get right into the face of women and their support partners, is that the bill will help decrease some of the tension that's outside of reproductive health facilities and the risk of someone being hurt. So that's the hope. It's certainly not to take away anyone's right to their own opinion. It's not taking away the right of their ability to express that opinion, but it would create, you know, again, that's why it's called a buffer zone. It would create a little bit of a safety zone, a buffer zone around women who are accessing legal medical services, which is also a right.
Gary Reno, how much does the First Amendment free speech issue that Brian raises come up on the legislative floor?
It was prime front and center to a large extent,
particularly
really, in debate in the House and in the Senate too. This is not quite as much, but to some extent. I mean, it's a huge issue. I mean, what we're really talking here is balancing constitutional rights. I mean, you have the constitutional right to free speech, and yet you have the constitutional right to, if some people say, to be left alone. So, I mean, it's a whole argument of, do you get to cry fire in a crowded theater? Well,
no.
And, I mean, it's the same sort of balancing. It's a difficult question. It's a very difficult question.
When we talk about free speech, Brian, are there certain behaviors that go with that speech that make the speech no longer protected? As Gary said, you know, the famous fire in a crowded theater example. I mean, for example, if someone threatens violence or if they make that speech physically putting themselves in someone's way, is that free speech no longer protected? I'm just wondering where the lines are crossed.
And as Gary said, this is a very complicated issue. And I want to reiterate it. This is not in any way an attempt to protect people who behave as such. I've been down there, I've never seen interactions like that go on. Granted, I'm not there every day, so I don't know. I know that is not the intent nationally of those who believe as they do standing outside of these facilities. But if that is something that is constantly going on, I believe there's a better way to deal with it, and I believe that comes from within the community. Rather than push them 25 feet away. And now you're starting to get into, on top of your First Amendment argument, a buffer zone. As it's applied, if that starts to broaden to other private entities, you're talking about an infringement on public space as well. This goes farther than just the First Amendment. You're talking about, you know, where does an entity, a corporation, have the ability to infringe on the rights to public space? I mean, that's a public sidewalk. They don't own that. You know, not to mention the neighbors. You know, people are in the surrounding area who have to deal with people on their sidewalks. It's a very complicated matter. And as Gary referenced earlier, they have made a decision hastily before other Supreme Court decisions have been made to determine what the real parameters of this type of argument are.
Let's take a call if we could. Again, the number here in the exchange for you to join us as we look at the possibility of buffer zones around abortion clinics in New Hampshire is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And let's go to Concord, where Rob is on the line. Hi, Rob. Go ahead.
Hi, it's YC. I'm a lifelong Roman Catholic, and I do not believe in abortion. I believe it's wrong. I would counsel a person to not have an abortion, but I do think it should remain legal because I just think that there are people who, beyond their own circumstances, need to have one. And a couple weeks ago, in Mass, someone came and spoke at our church to announce that they were having a rally at an abortion clinic in Concord. Now, I had just moved back here after being away for a couple years, didn't know there was one in Concord. Not only did that person announce there was where the rally was, but they specifically gave the address of where the clinic was. And I thought that that was very irresponsible because I thought that that put a target on every single employee of that clinic in Concord for anyone who wanted to hear where it was. And I just have a real hard time with that because these employees of these clinics, they may not have the same political view. They're just there working. Who knows what their religious views are? And, I just don't like the idea of making these people targets. And I really believe they are. Not to mention the people that go there for services other than abortion. And it really bothers me. And I really think that you need these buffer zones when you have these kind of threats, this kind of potential violence that could happen because we see what happens across the country.
So,
and I don't think that Concord's immune to that.
So, Rob, even though you personally are strongly opposed to abortion, you think
right.
The buffer zones are okay to protect people who are going to the clinic and who are working at the clinic?
Absolutely, because it boils down to the fact that this is a decision that each person must make between them and God, basically. They have to deal with the decision when they go see God someday.
Okay. Rob, thank you very much for calling in. What do you think about this, Brian? I want to hear from you first, but you also, Laura Thibault, and then I have another question for you, Gary. Yeah, go ahead, Brian. It's between an individual and the God that he says they will meet someday, and so leave it alone.
Well, again, that's a true statement. However, it's really the principle here. You're saying that you're not enacting on rights, but you don't see buffer zones in front of strikers. You don't see buffer zones for picket lines. You don't see buffer zones for places like this. Why is it that those who believe in something that's rather controversial in modern day culture, why is there a buffer zone for them? And yes, it is a personal decision between them and their God. But I mean, this is something that's been protected by our country. It's something that our forefathers believed was necessary to an open and democratic republic. And I don't see how this discrimination to this particular community is acceptable, even though that is an individual choice. It's just as much of an individual choice to cross that picket line, but we protect them.
Laura, this is an interesting point that Brian raises, and others have raised it too. Why just pick on protesters around abortion clinics? Why not other types of protesters? Animal rights activists protesting a shop that sells fur coats, for example. Are you unfairly targeting one type of protester over another?
I think what New Hampshire legislators are doing are answering a problem that's unique, that's happening in New Hampshire. It's happening across the country. There's documented incidents of violence happening all over this country around this issue. It's deeply divisive, and women who are accessing these services and providers who work there need protection. Again, this bill was very carefully crafted to balance two separate rights, and this does absolutely nothing to take away the right of those who want to stand outside of reproductive health clinics and voice their opinion, but it does provide a little bit of privacy and protection for those who are accessing legal services. So I think it's a real balance. I think it was very, very thoughtfully done, and I don't believe that it's picking on one group of people. I think that it's a call to answer and hopefully prevent incident of violence happening in New Hampshire. We can't afford to have that happen here, not even one, and we see it happen again and again across the country. So I don't think that we can pretend that it's not happening, because unfortunately it is.
Well, and Gary, as the end of May approaches, the legislature is getting out early this year, June 5th or 6th, I think is the day. So where does this abortion clinic buffer zone bill stand right now?
It has passed the Senate, and last week it passed the House. But the House made a change in it, which requires the coordination with local communities, that the facilities coordinate a little better. They have to coordinate with local communities and the police department and so on, and how they're setting up. Define the zone more precisely. And so it will have to go back to the Senate. It probably will get through the Senate fairly easily. It did before, because it's not a major change. And then it will be going to the governor.
So some technical changes.
Technical changes. And then the Senate will have to take some action this week. And then it will be going to the governor.
Now, the Senate is Republican controlled. Is it surprising that the Senate voted in favor of this buffer zone?
It doesn't. This has not been a largely a partisan issue. It's been more a moral issue. And that's when you get into the moral issues, the partisanship tends to fade away.
Yeah. So what do you think, Brian McCormick? This bill sounds like it's going to go through. Sounds like Governor Hassan will sign it. Will you guys go to court over this? Wait to see what happens with the U.S. Supreme Court or what?
Yes, I do believe we will. We're watching the Supreme Court case very closely. But as this has become a constitutional issue, I do believe that you will see legal action from not only organizations like my own. There are a few national organizations I know that have taken notice of it, and a few other organizations within the state. I absolutely do believe that the state's opened themselves up for a lawsuit.
Okay. Laura Tebow, what do you think?
Well, we're confident that Governor Hassan will consider this bill with the same thoughtfulness that the majority of legislators did, and will continue to advocate for the privacy and protection of women in New Hampshire and providers in New Hampshire.
Okay. All of you, thank you very much for helping us out with this topic. Brian McCormick, thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Laura.
Brian McCormick, Executive Director of Cornerstone, a conservative public policy think tank. Laura Tebow, thank you also for being with us.
Thank you, Laura.
Laura Tebow, Executive Director for NARAL Pro-Choice New Hampshire, and Gary Reno with us for both our death penalty conversation and our buffer zone conversation. Thank you for helping us out this
morning.
You're
most welcome, Laura.
That's Gary Reno, State House reporter for the Union Leader and New Hampshire Sunday News. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Meixel. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is James Pouliot. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, our earlier conversation on the rising trend in childhood anxiety. We sit down with Lynn Lyons, New Hampshire-based therapist and co-author of the new book, Anxious Kids, Anxious Parents. We'll find out what she believes is driving this trend, what's considered normal worry and what's unhealthy, and the role parents play in their children's anxiety struggles. Join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
The Diane Rehm Show next at 10 o'clock on New Hampshire Public Radio, where support comes from you, our listeners, and from People's United Bank, helping businesses, small and large, grow to the next level in branches and online at peoples.com. And Cedar Crest Center for Children with Disabilities, comprehensive medical care and education for children with complex medical and developmental needs, ages infant to 21. CedarCrestCenter.org.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord, 89.1.
WEVS Nashua, 88.3.
WEVH Hanover, 91.3.
WEVN Keene, 90.7.
WEVC Gorham, 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson, 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook, 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton, 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Susan Page of USA Today, sitting in for Diane Rehm. The presumptive prime minister of the world's largest democracy promised a shining India in his victory speech Friday. Narendra Modi's BJP party swept the country's national election in a landslide, the scale of which has not been seen since the 1980s.